The miracle of the Quran Kareem, perhaps the greatest miracle of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this miracle of Mi'raj. And what are the lessons that we can take from it? How we can align ourselves in this contemporary world? What's happening in the hotspots of the world? Many of these incidents relate to that as well, inshallah. And together with that, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately that is the most important, and that is what we seek as believers. And for that, inshallah, I would like to call our guest, Mawlana Abu Bakr Behra Sahib. Alhamdulillah, who has taken out the time. Mawlana is a teacher at Madrasa Sadiqeen in Robertsham, alhamdulillah. Together with that, Mawlana is actively involved in the Hibs class and the work of Da'wat and Tabligh as well, inshallah. So we say Jazakumullah to Mawlana for taking out his time to spend a few moments to enlighten us, inshallah, with this.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, the beautiful incident of Mi'raj that took place, as Mawlana has mentioned also, amongst the mu'jizat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest mu'jiza that is the kalam of Allah with us until the day of Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put challenges that who can stand up to the Qur'an-e-Kareem or try any challenge against the Qur'an-e-Kareem, they will fail miserably. In the past 1400 years, many have tried and nobody has been successful to overpower the Qur'an-e-Kareem, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That miracle stands where it is. Secondly, this night of Mi'raj was also a great miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many years of the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkatul Mukarrama, and he was being pushed and chased away by the people from all directions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also tried to go to Ta'if, the second city close by, or the biggest city close by to Makkatul Mukarrama, where he would try to make his effort so that the deen could spread. In Makkatul Mukarrama, at that time, a handful of people had accepted Islam, but to great attack by the people. From that one side, he was also being rejected. He had been to Ta'if. There's a famous incident that had happened in Ta'if, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then stoned and chased out of the town. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha had also passed away. Abu Talib, his uncle, who was his support and a means of his protection also, had also left this world. And after all these many incidents, that Allah now honored our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by blessing him with this great journey, the journey of Mi'raj. The journey of Mi'raj, sometimes we'll say Isra, sometimes we'll say Mi'raj. Actually, the two names refer to two parts of the journey. One part of the journey was the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarrama to Baytul Maqdis. And the second part of the journey was from Baytul Maqdis. The first part of the journey is known as Isra. That part of the journey from Makkatul Mukarrama to Baytul Maqdis, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping in the house of Umm Hani radiallahu anha when Hazrat Jibrail and Hazrat Mikail alayhi salam appeared. They let the roof of the house split open and they entered into the house. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping. They woke him up and took him from there to the haram, into the precincts of the haram, fell asleep. Then secondly, they woke him up a second time. And first, an operation was done. Open heart surgery, as we may know it today. This was done already by the malaika. Previously, it was done to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his childhood, when he was at Hazrat Halima Saadiyah radiallahu anha's house. And now on this occasion, it was repeated. The heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was removed, and a golden dish was brought from, water of Zamzam was put in there, and with the water of Zamzam, the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was first washed, which has got its own virtues and reasons and significance behind it. Then Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam And Hazrat Mikail alayhi salam, they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the journey which is about to go on. This journey began from Makkatul Mukarramah, min dan Masjidil Harami, ila al Masjidil Aqsa, alladhi barakna hawlahu. From Masjidil Haram transported to Masjidil Aqsa. But in this journey already, first of all, the animal that was brought was a Buraq. Buraq was the name of this animal which was brought for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This animal was bigger than a donkey and smaller than a mule. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made to mount onto this animal. This animal suddenly became very excited that it was having Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mount it and to ride on it. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam had to calm the animal that the greatest of all the creation is now sitting on your back, that you have to be calm and be careful. When hearing about who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, the animal almost started to kneel down and go down and started to kneel in respect and honor, in reverence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From here this journey began. In this part of this journey, it happened during the night, a part of the night, Laylan, a ayat of Surah Bani Israel in the 15 Jews of the Quran, the beginning of the 15 Jews, this first ayat is mentioned. So in a portion of the night, this whole journey took place. It was now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to honor his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For all that he had done, for all that he had been through, it was time for some recompense to be given to him. And Allah blessed him and honored him with this most miraculous journey and this most beautiful journey. It was to him, and so he was taken on this honorable journey. His journey started from Makkatul Mukarramah, and his journey starts, the first leg of the journey is to take him to Masjid al-Aqsa. But on this journey, Buraq took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and made a few stops also. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam told him, they passed Mount Sinai. This is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and the nabuwat was given to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Buraq was told to stop, and Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam that you stop here and you perform two rakat at this place also. This was the place where Musa alayhi salam was spoken to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, another stop was made, or maybe that stop was first. If you look at the tartib or the pattern of journey, the first stop was made, and Hazrat Jibreel told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a place to which your hijrat will take place. From Makkah, you will be moving to another land. This was Madinatul Munawwara, called Yathrib earlier. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the name to Madinatul Munawwara. And so one stop was made here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended from the Buraq, and two rakat of salat was performed at this place also.
Mafia the interruption, brothers. There is a vehicle B523AZB, 523AZB, a white Toyota Corolla that is blocking the pathway. Could you kindly remove the car, please? Jazakumullah.
From here onwards, the journey continues. One stop is made at Mount Sinai, one stop is made in Madinatul Munawwara, and from there onwards, they go to Baytul Maqdis. Also, some parts of the narrations in the various ahadith in which this journey is that happened seem to be events that would pertain to what Rasulullah saw in a later part of the journey, but some of them seem to have been mentioned in some of the narrations as if it took part in this part of the journey where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw certain types of punishments and certain types of rewards. According to the narrations, it would seem some of these things were shown to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the very beginning part of the journey. Otherwise, it could also be when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did go into the heavens, he was shown certain things in a later part of the journey. Also, a lady tried to call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards herself, a very old lady. She called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazrat Jibreel told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi continue, do not pay attention to her. An old man called Rasulullah sallallahu towards himself. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu was told by Hazrat Jibreel sallallahu, do not pay any attention to him, continue on the journey. Thirdly, there were a group of three people who gave salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and replied to the salam of these three people. After this little incident happened, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually that old woman who you have seen, that is actually the world. It was depicted in the form of an old lady, and this dunya had tried to call you towards itself. It is trying to attract you also. That is why you were told not to pay any attention to the dunya, but to continue on your journey. Secondly, that old man, that was Shaitan. He has already loved the long part of you and called you towards himself. He is also trying to misguide you and mislead you. You are not to pay any attention to him. Rasulullah SAW had passed by both of them. Also, it signifies that this dunya was depicted as an old lady. In being depicted as an old lady, it's also a significant point to explain to us that like how this old lady is now towards the last part of her life, this dunya from the time that it was created up to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone out from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the day of Qiyamah comparatively to the time that the world has survived already before, it is now towards the last part of its life and we are in the last part of the life of this world that we are. And in fact, we Allah knows better, but in this ummah also, we may be the latter part of this ummah also as we see the signs of Qiyamah emerging day to day, new signs that tells us that Qiyamah might not be very far off from us, and we have already seen Qiyamah. Some signs are still remaining, but a majority of the minor signs of Qiyamah have already made their appearance. So this was the dunya which tried to call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was Shaitan who tried to attract Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The three people that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that these three people are making salam to you, you also reply to their salam. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said, this was Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, this was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this was Hazrat Isa salatu salam, were conferring salam to you, so you reply to their salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam conferred salam upon them. Also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, during that journey I passed by the qabr of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and I was made to see that Musa alayhi salam was engaged in salah while he was in the grave also. He was engaged in salah. This was also shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived at Baitul Maqdis, where Hazrat Jibreel alaihi salam came, and where all the Anbiya alaihi salam on a certain rock, Hazrat Jibreel alaihi salam pointed, this is where Buraq will be tethered, and he will be kept, and he will made to remain while we will go into the Masjid, Masjidul Aqsa. Hazrat Jibreel alaihi salam also poked his finger into that hole where the animals used to be fastened, and he opened up that hole, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tied up the buraq, and the buraq was left to stay there at that part of the journey. The buraq moved at a tremendous pace as far as the eye could see. This is the every step that the buraq took in this journey, and they had come to Baitul Maqdis. Now, in anticipation of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a second very great miraculous event that takes place is that the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam all gathered on this occasion. From the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, in which form they had gathered, Allah had brought, number one, all their souls were resurrected and brought to Baitul Maqdis. Whether also this their physical body, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the bodies of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam haram upon the earth, so the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam's bodies would never decompose. Whether it was that same body that they were given, or it was some other form of body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them for their souls to remain in at that time, that is maybe not so clear. But the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam were all gathered on the occasion of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In particular, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam were standing for istiqamah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes there, and suddenly a host of people, in the different narrations, maybe 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, or some narrations indicate up to 200,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why we say more or less, because the exact figure is not known. How many people Allah had made Anbiya, all of them were resurrected on that occasion, and they had been at Baitul Maqdis on that occasion. And now all of them got ready, and Hazrat Jibreel says, you will be the imam of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So Rasulullah SAW is ushered forward to make the imamat of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Also it is mentioned that the malaika were also commanded to get this honor and enjoy this salah, that they would also stand and make safs behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was standing in the sufuf, and the malaika also came to join the salat in which was imam of the salah. So this is the first part of the journey. After the salah was performed, First of all, Rasulullah SAW and Hazrat Jibreel entered Baytul Maqdis and they performed 2 rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid. And then the Salat was performed together with the rest of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. This Salat could not be a Farz Salat because it happened after Isha Salat. Rasulullah SAW had gone to sleep and by Fajr time Rasulullah SAW was back in Makkatul Mukarramah. So it seems to be a Nafal Salat during that part of the night. And like Rasulullah SAW had performed, it was not a Farz Salat. And all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam had been what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After the salah, the various Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam one by one took a chance to give, as we would say, like their bayan. Each one took a few words to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Nabi, not every one of them, but certain amongst the senior of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, tilka rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. Those are the rasuls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some over others. So some of them were given the opportunity to give praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each one praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. To praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respected elders and brothers, is a very great virtue and favor. The first amongst the people who will enter Jannah are the Hammadun, those people who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, fissarra'i wa dharra, in good conditions and difficulties, always will be the first group of people to enter Jannah also. Allah make us of those people who can always be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So various Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam started and they gave their praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam completed the praises and he was the last to give that little talk, that few words of each Nabi giving his little talk. Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that beautiful praises he also says praise to Allah, our ummah that has been taken out for the benefit of mankind, that will call towards good and forbid from evil. He praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this also. We are fortunate enough that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't forget us on this part of the journey also. He praises Allah for the ummah that has been given to him and the duties that have been given to the ummah. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions that after that it is for these purposes that he is given fadila, he is given superiority over the rest of us. He has been given all these things. Salam was al-awwal also, and he was al-akhir also, and he will be al-hashir. He was the first from all the Anbiya to be created, or from the creation to be created. The first one to be created, the one whose nur was created first, was Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one side, he is the Fatih, he is the opener of the beginning of all this creation to come into the world. He is the beginner for all these things. He will be the Fatih, the opener of Jannah also. He was Fatih, also the seal. He is the seal of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. So he is Al-Akhir, the last of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, and the seal of all the Prophets. And he will be Al-Hashir, at whose hands and at whose feet the whole of creation will be resurrected. It will be first Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get up, after whom the rest of mankind will be made to be resurrected. So he is counted as Al-Hashir also. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the company of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, he now starts the second part of the journey, is the journey of Mi'raj. From here onwards, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now going and is ascending the levels of the skies and is going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this part of the journey, Mi'raj means to have a ladder. So a type of a ladder was brought for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was with Buraq or it without Buraq, but Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam accompanies him and they now start to ascend the levels and go from here into the skies in a miraculous way. Obviously, and count ourselves to count from climbing downstairs to upstairs, that amount of time, how long it would take to climb the skies. No, in a miraculous way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken him the most beautiful ladder have to be seen ever. Rasulullah SAW describes a most beautiful ladder was to be seen. Also a mu'min, a person who dies with iman and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pious person, at the time of his mouth, he will also see a beautiful ladder by which his soul will be taken up from this world. It will be taken into to see a beautiful ladder by which he will ascend into the skies. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now taken on this ladder and is taken into the skies. As he ascends into the skies, he comes to the first sky, second sky, going onwards. Now we have to understand something in English. Maybe we mix up these points. The heavens and the skies, or Jannah and the Samawat, they are two different places. Jannah is a different aspect, and the Samawat is a different aspect. The seven skies also, beyond that is the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So Rasulullah SAW climbs up into the skies and he sees the different parts of the sky. Mankind's research today in the world, all our research may be It all is not beyond the first sky also. In fact, we have not even understood what is happening within the limits or within the boundaries of the first sky, let alone to understand something else. So when an atheist says, we have studied the skies and we have studied everywhere, the Jannah, talk, we can't find any of these things, we can't see any of these things. So there are so many phenomena that are ununderstood by mankind, that have not been seen or not comprehended, or our gazes have not even reached there. It is far beyond our understanding also. It is just like, to give a simple example, a person passes away, he is put in the grave. That person's wife is in the world, and that person's wife is pregnant, has got a child in her world. He is in the womb of the mother. His world, his total world, is only one little womb. He can never understand what is outside that womb. That is his world. The woman who is alive, she is living in this world. And this world is also got its limitations. That person who has entered the grave is gone into the next world already. There's three different worlds already in one picture here. The child is in a different world. Like that child, if we could communicate and say, you know, when you come out of this womb, there's going to be a big world out there. There's going to be cars and travel. It will be beyond the understanding of that child, because that child's world is only one little womb there. Can't even stretch his legs completely straight. He only understands that this is the whole world, it seems. If he does research, he says, my research doesn't show me any of the things you are talking about. Obviously, because your research is only in this little world. The person out of that womb, our research is only in this world and beyond and beneath the first sky. But beyond that, there is another creation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was also shown the heavens. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we showed Ibrahim alayhi salam the creations of the heavens and the skies, all beyond that, so that he can have yaqeen, and so that his firm yaqeen can be increased. Allah showed him all these things also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also shown a different world. So that person who is dying, doing research this world to less than the first sky also, we have not even seen where does the first sky end. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken into the skies. In the skies he meets various Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Again a special meeting with them. In the seven skies that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascends, first of all he comes to the door of the first sky. Hazrat Jibreel sallam knocks on the door and the angel asks who has come. The Nizam and system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Jibreel says, is Jibreel, who is with you? Muhammad ibn Abdullah accompanying me. Has he been invited? The question is asked, and Jibreel says, alayhi salam says, he has been invited. He has come with invitation now, and he is welcome. He is welcome with words of salam, and he is welcome by the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a nizam and a system in place. In the skies also, there is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system of the malaika, all the different various stages and different systems, Allah has got them all in place. So the malaika welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now he meets Adam alayhi salam. Now, this could have another significance also, and the ulama explain various significances of meeting the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets on the first sky Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was living in Jannah, and he was brought down into this world. He had to leave his native land and he had to come to a different land. So this is a little significance that we can understand from here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to meet him because he left land and making a journey to a strange land. And initially it was very difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, the place where the Kaaba was and the Anbiya were and Ibrahim alayhi salam was and all these beautiful things, and he has to leave that place. He was very sad on the occasion of leaving Makkah, same like how Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was sad on his departure and when he had to make the descent from Jannah into this world. So there was a little significance in why he met certain Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the other one, and he meets Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. These were two maternal cousins. Their mothers were cousins to each other. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is that Nabi who is going to come back into this ummah. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallam said, from all the Anbiya is the closest to me, in the aspect that no other Nabi came between Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. So in this closeness, Rasulullah sallam is to meet him, and he is to come back into this world, and he is to come to do a certain jobs as a ummati of Rasulullah. He doesn't let go of his nabuwat. He's not losing his nabuwat. Just like the president of one country visits another country. When he's visiting another country, he's not acting as president in the next country. He doesn't lose his presidentship of the place he comes from. But while he is in the next place, he doesn't exercise his rights as the president. He now follows the rules of that country. Same way, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam does not lose his nabuwat because he will come back in this ummah. He will come. He is a nabi. He was a nabi to Bani Israel. But as a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam is met along with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes further and he meets Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. He means Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. Hazrat Idris alayhi salam was also that Nabi who started the beginning of writing and sending letters to give dawat of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also further on in his life was made to write letters. He wrote a letter to Kisra. He wrote a letter to Muqawqis, giving them dawat through letters and inviting towards Islam. This was also one significance. He's meeting various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to the next heaven. He meets Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, Rasulullah salam says he was given a great share of beauty. He mentions the beauty of Hazrat Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Also the significance of this meeting of Yusuf alayhi salam was that how Yusuf alayhi salam was kicked out by his own family members. And it was also an indication to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, your own family members will go against you and they will cause trouble to you and you will have to go away because of your own family members. Also, Yusuf alayhi salam, the day his family members came back in front of him and they said, forgive us for the wrong things that we have done. That Allah has لَقَدْ عَاثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. Verily Allah has given you preference of us. We were the ones who did wrong. And Yusuf alayhi salam says, لَا تَثْرِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيُومِ. He says, give you people. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. May Allah also forgive you people. The same way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Fath Makkah, that same words he replies to the people of Quraysh, the people of Makkah, when he comes in front of them and he asks them, how do you expect me to treat you today? And they say, you are a noble person, the son of a noble person. We expect some kindness from you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after all the years of torment and difficulties and so much difficulties that came from the intention, got that same reply. I will say to you what my brother Yusuf said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. I hold no grudge against you people today. May Allah forgive you sons. So this is the significance of meeting Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets up with Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. And the aspect of Harun alayhi salam has also got a significance, that how Harun alayhi salam was to make war and wage jihad in Sham. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also went for a jihad which was in Tabuk, which falls within the area of Sham and within the area of Syria. But at the time of Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, Baitul Maqdis etc. was not conquered. Again, here is another significance. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Baitul Maqdis was not conquered. Later on, Hazrat Yusha alayhi salam completed that same expedition that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Harun alayhi salam took Bani Israel to go and to conquer Baitul Maqdis. It was not conquered at that time. And what the children of Bani Israel takes them and they go and conquer Baitul Maqdis. Here also, Allah gave that honor to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that during his khilafat, Baitul Maqdis is finally conquered. Here again a little significance between who he is meeting from the Anbiya and what is going to happen in Rasulullah's own life. Musa alayhi salam is met. And finally, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is met. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, interestingly, was leaning against Baitul Ma'mur, which is in the heavens. And that Kaaba is directly above the Kaaba that is in this world. So this Kaaba is a Kaaba around which the Malaika make tawaf. 70,000 Malaika make tawaf around this Kaaba every day. And none of them get a chance ever to make tawaf of this Kaaba ever again. So every day a new set of 70,000 Malaika get a chance to make tawaf of the Baitul Ma'mur. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was leaning against the Baitul Ma'mur. Also, the children, there were many children that were around Hazrat Ibrahim. These will be the children of those people whose children died in infancy of mu'mineen. These children were made to, Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam was given the chance to look after these children and play with these children. They are playing to cause joy in the heart of Ibrahim al-Islam. Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam was that Nabi when he was in this world. Allah trialed him and tested him by letting him not have the chance to love what his own child, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. Allah let him leave them in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Go away and leave them at a young age. He sprang out because Ismail alayhi salam was a little baby. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in old age gets a son. And in old age Allah tests him. After giving him a son, Allah says, leave your son now and go on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to go away. So Allah blessed him in the Asman. He is given the children to sit and enjoy and enjoy the company of all the children and watch them play. Then from there onwards, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Sidratul Muntaha. It is a lotus tree. Also, we understand the significance between different people and their different aspects mentioned by those people who can give ta'bir or meanings of dreams. They say, for example, every person that you dream about, there is some significance between what you have seen and what is relating to you, etc. What will happen in such a case? So those people who give ta'bir of dreams, they say, if a person has dream memory, in a very short time, he will be going for Hajj. While Ibrahim alayhi salam was the one who built the Kaaba, Ibrahim alayhi salam was the one sitting against the Kaaba, leaning against the Kaaba. It is very possible in a very short time, Allah will bless this person, make it possible for him that he will go and visit Baytullah, visit Kaaba, he will go for Hajj. This is the significance of different things. In dreams also, these types of things are seen. And in reality also, Allah made it in the journey of this, in this journey of the Sama. There were different things that depicted different events. And Allah also is taken to Sidratul Muntaha. At this point, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam stops, and from here onwards, only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ventures forward. This was now the time for a very special meeting. This was the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to honor only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, this is the point where everyone else stops, and only Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues further. It is to show his superiority, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on from there. Inda Sidratul Muntaha, indaha Jannatul Ma'wa. At the Sidratul Muntaha, at this place is Jannatul Ma'wa. Very close to the Sidratul Muntaha is Jannah. From there Rasulullah SAW viewed Jannah also. From there Rasulullah SAW in this journey was made to see Jahannam also. There were several occasions when Rasulullah SAW was made to see Jannah and Jahannam. Once it happened in a dream, Rasulullah SAW woke up in the morning and asked the Sahaba, has anybody seen any dream today? And he would translate their dreams for them. And Rasulullah SAW mentioned his own dream and says, last night, the dream that I had was, I was taken by two malaika and I was shown Jannah and many ni'mats of Jannah and I was shown Jahannam and the punishments of Jahannam and which people were getting rewarded for which actions and which people were being punished for which actions. In a dream it was also shown. On one occasion, Rasulullah SAW was performing Salah. While performing Salah, he stepped forward. And while performing Salah, he stepped backwards. After the Salah, Sahaba asked Rasulullah SAW, so Salah you step forward, in your Salah you step back. What was this about? Rasulullah SAW said, while I was performing Salah, Jannat was opened on me. And I seen the grapes of Jannah. I even thought of taking from the grapes of Jannah. Had Rasulullah SAW taken from it, it would have remained till the day of Qiyamah, the grapes he would have been eating from this world. But Allah had not destined that to happen. Rasulullah SAW says, when I saw Jannah, it made me move forward. Then I was shown Jahannam also. And when I was shown Jahannam, it made me retract and move backwards. Once, during the Salat of Rasulullah SAW, this was also shown. And on the journey of Mi'raj, physically, Rasulullah SAW was taken on the journey where he was shown Jannah and shown Jahannam. Physically, he went to see Jannah, he went to see Jahannam. You find that some people have objections about the occasion of Mi'raj and they think it's an impossibility. Maybe in the times when science wasn't so advanced as it is today, maybe some people would have had questions, more questions. Today, science has shown just a few years ago, has become so easily possible. What is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also, when the beginning of the surah and the mention of Isra is made and Mi'raj is made, Allah starts off by Subhanalladhi. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most pure is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took his servant on this great journey. Allah calls Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi abdihi. Allah took his slave. On this journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from your various titles. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, I love the title abd the most that I'm called slave. Now if we look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us all as the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are created as the slaves. We are created to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our primary purpose. On a different front, a Rasul and a Nabi is called a Rasul. Why? Someone who has been sent. So looking at mankind, he has been sent to mankind. He's been a Nabi to give the knowledge that has been given to him. He is to inform mankind about the Qabr, about the Akhirat, about all those events. He's a Nabi on one side. He's also a Rasul, a person who has been sent. So looking at it, as far as his relationship with people is concerned, then we find that his title is that he is the Rasul of Allah, he is the Nabi of Allah, the one sent by Allah, the one giving information from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala side. This is his relationship between himself and people. But when we then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here he's not being sent to Allah, here he's not coming to inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything. So the greatest title that he prefers and he chooses is that I be called the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest title. Then the person who humbles himself the most, that person, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahullah, the one who lowered himself the most, looking at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he realizes his most insignificance and he realizes my greatest honor is lying, is that I be called the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, glorified be Allah who took his servant, who took his servant by night on that night journey. Allah doesn't say he took his Rasul, who took his Nabi. Why? Because this journey was a journey. He had spoken to mankind. He had done his effort amongst mankind. This was the occasion when he was going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here his greatest point and greatest honor is to be called the Sala. So this is the significance why Allah addresses and says that Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, Allah took his servant by night on the journey from Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and so forth. The journey continues. He has been addressed by the title of bi'abdihi, by his, Allah took his slave. So he prefers to be called the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At Sidratul Muntaha also, the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes to this point, and from best from here onwards, it is now taken down, and decisions are made in the world and passed on to various points. But this is the first point from which everything that ascends from the world stops at Sidratul Muntaha, and everything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to Sidratul Muntaha, and from here the decisions are then carried forward and passed on from there onwards. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he was taken to a place where there were pens that were writing, and these pens were writing the taqdeer and the predestination to happen. This was also seen by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I heard the scratching and the sounds of the pens writing also. So before Qiyamah, we will find amongst the signs of Qiyamah, people will deny taqdeer. This is also one sign of Qiyamah. People say that, what is this taqdeer? So it is a very delicate subject and a dangerous subject as far as dunya is concerned. And shaitan's primary objective of a person forgetting to worry about taqdeer, what's his primary objective? He wants us to say, why must we do amal achieve? Nobody in the aspect of risk says, whatever is muqaddar, whatever is predestined for me, I will get. I'm not going to work, I'm not going to make effort, I'm not going to go anywhere, I won't try to do anything. Everybody knows if I try something, I will get, and I will get what is predestined for me. But shaitan wants us to believe as far as our amal is concerned, leave amal, don't worry, whatever is predestined is going to happen. So we have to be careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked this question, he says, do amal, and whatever is predestined for you will be made easy. If people find what is your predestination, that will be easy for you. So to do actions. So taqdeer was being written. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ushered in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this occasion also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to see as a Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form. When he received his nabuwat, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form. On other occasions, he would not see Jibreel in his original form. On the occasion of Miraj, he was shown Jibreel alayhi salam in his grandeur and his greatness in his original form. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. This was a private conversation, a secret meeting, a occasion of joy and greatness, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come in the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had called him alone. Allah wanted to honor him with whatever honors Allah decided to give him. Allah alone knows what Rasulullah's maqam was and what Allah has given him. From that time onwards, it is beyond my and your understanding. This was the great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we could only understand his position and who that Nabi was, to make us understand what great significance it is that we are part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had a wish that we could also get a chance. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam made dua, I also wish to be part of this ummah. But every Nabi was not given this. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam blessed as a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then three great gifts were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was the great gift of salah. The second great gift was that which Imam Sahib read in our first rakat, is the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun, until end of Surah Baqarah. These two ayat were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the journey of Miraj. And the third gift was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured him, person who does not make shirk, he will not go to Jahannam forever. Either he will be saved totally from Jahannam, Or he will be saved by the intercession of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. Or he will be saved by the intercession of sulaha and pious people, the awliya Allah. Or he will be saved by maybe a hafiz in his family. Or he'll be saved by this type of means. Or if not, if a person by his evil deeds had to land himself in Jahannam, he will not remain there forever. But sometime he'll come out of Jahannam, and then he will be made to enter Jannah, where he will abide forever. This was assured to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These three great gifts were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, respected elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَدَدَلَّا فَكَانَ قَوْبَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدَنَا فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Allah revealed to him what Allah revealed to him. Allah does not mention the details of this. What Allah had, that close communion, that close talk that took place, that Allah revealed. Allah says, فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Allah revealed to him what Allah revealed to him. Leave that. Allah knows what is there. Whether Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, that also remained the difference of opinion amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some would think that he did see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he saw a nur which Allah allowed him to see or not see. That is not a major issue. The great thing is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, and Allah put in his heart, and Allah revealed to him and told him and spoke to him what Allah wished to tell him at that occasion. That is between our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he was given this gift to come back to this ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back. He meets Hazrat Ibrahim alaihi salam, and he says, Ibrahim alaihi salam says, what have you been given? He says, I've been given 50 salah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did not say anything. Then he says, Hazrat, what have you been given? He says, I've been given 50 salah. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam tells him, look, I've already went through Bani Israel. Your ummah will not be able to bear 50 salah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a reduction in that 50 salah. And so Rasulullah salam goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is reduced from 50 to 45, 40, 35, 30. Every time he's told by Musa alayhi salam, go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reduction. This was a favor of Musa alayhi salam upon us. That he asked Rasulullah in this, and so salat was reduced until it was brought to 5 times salah. Still as the Musa alayhi salam said, go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reduction in this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt shy, that if I feel shy to go one more time and ask for reduction. Also, every time a reduction was made, it was made in reductions of five. Five salat were being reduced. When it came down to five, it may seem, what if I have to ask for reduction and Allah takes salat away? There's no salat left by my ummah. Rasulullah SAW felt shy to ask for a reduction. It was then brought down five salah, but he was told that a person who will look after his 5 times salah will get the reward of a person who is performing 50 times salah during a day. Actually, this corresponds with what Allah has intended for us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah has not created us for anything else, but Allah says, I created jinn and ins only for one purpose, that they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the primary purpose why we were created. So if this was the purpose we were created for, then it would have been that wala. But Allah knows what capability and capacity we've got. Of course, we're going to get tired. And if we have to be performing salah whole day, 50 salah, in the end of the day, we're not going to be concentrating at all. We're just going to be doing it haphazardly, just to complete. How many have I completed? 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Okay, I'm finished for today. We're not going to do it beautifully. So Allah showed initially that this is what you were created for. But I want you to do it beautifully. Never mind, in the wisdom of Allah, Allah let it be 50 first, but Allah reduced it 5. Relax, go and earn, go and eat, go and be with your family. But 5 times of the day, stop. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqimi salat ali dhikri. Establish salat for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 5 times in a day, do not overstep your limits, but do it in the correct manner. And so from there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began his journey back to the earth. He came with Jibreel alayhi salam, back to Baytul Maqdis, and from Baytul Maqdis, back to Makkatul Mukarrama. And this was the end of the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his journey, many beautiful things were seen by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi during this journey. When he came to Makkatul Mukarrama the next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the whole incident to the Quraysh, and they object that you are speaking a lie. Tell us about Baytul Maqdis. If you say you've been there, tell us, describe it to us. Now if any one of us have been there and you come back and somebody starts asking you intricate questions, nobody will be able to answer that questions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it be that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see Baytul Maqdis. There are so many doors, there are so many windows. This type of question, anybody who visit the place, you ask him all these kind of questions, he will not be able to answer. Allah let it be in front of him. Also they asked him, tell us more, what proof that you are on this journey? He says, on my way back, I saw one caravan. They are about 3 days journey away from Makkah. They are on their way to Makkah. They even lost one of their camels. They were looking for their camel. They found their camel, and now they are on their journey. Within 3 days time, they should be entering Makkatul Mukarramah. And it so happened that within 3 days, came to Makkatul Mukarramah, and they were asked by the Quraysh, that did certain occurrences happen to you? And they confirmed, yes, we lost our camel and we had to search for it and we found it. And then by the third day, they entered Makkatul Mukarramah. So there were so many signs that this was a true event that had happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will just add one more incident, and our time is already over, but we will finish up with this. The Quraysh, they went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they told him, you know what your friend is saying. Now he's saying that he went to Makkah journey, and he went into the skies, etc. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu asked them, that did he say that? They said, yes, he said it. He said, if he said it, then I believe it. And this is where he got the title of Siddiq, that the one who is the most truthful, and the one who most steadfast in truth. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah has told us so many more amazing things than that, and we believed him. What is difficult for us to believe him? If he has said that he had been on a journey, then I believe the journey. Rasulullah made kufr to what they heard, and Abu Bakr Siddiq, who heard the incident from the kuffar, he is the one who is given the title of Siddiq. He is given that great title. So this was that occasion. Allah blessed us with these three gifts. One gift is the gift of Salah that Allah has blessed us with. The second great gift is Suratul Baqarah, the last two ayats, Amana Rasulu, until the end of the surah, in which we have been taught to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is that a person who dies with iman. Allah told their children, Ya Bunayya, Ya Baniya, inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen, fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. The Anbiya, Allah is mentioning what they told their children. Oh my children, inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen, Allah has chosen deen for you. Fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Make sure you die as a Muslim. Do not lose your iman. You will enjoy forever and ever in akhirat. One thing you do not lose that iman on this journey of life. Make sure you illa wa antum muslimun. Yusuf alayhi salam, after all his incidents, when he becomes the king, he's saying that, oh Allah, tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin. Oh Allah, whatever I've been through, all the honor you gave me, you helped me, everything. Now one last thing, oh Allah, tawaffani muslima. Oh Allah, let me just die as a Muslim wa alhiqni bis salihin. Let me join up to your pious servants, and let me join to your friends. Let me join up with the salihin. So this should be our worry also. We have been given this occasion, the journey of Miraj. We have been given the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah that we can refer to our ulama, or we can read from the various tafasir. We can read about the significance of this ayat and the beauty of this ayat. And also the third thing that we have to do is make sure we look after our iman. We protect our iman and look after iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and give us all tawfiq to make amal and to appreciate the great ni'mats and the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد إنك على كل شيء قدير رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل والدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور للآخرة ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا
Say Jazakallah to Maulana for that most enlightening talk, inshallah, Allah practice on, inshallah.